Hello and welcome to Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. I'm your host, Andrew Heaton, and you have a very snazzy scarf. I have not seen a 9-foot-long scarf before, but you were pulling it off, and you look dramatic, and I like it. And we're going to do a Friday Release Valve episode, which means that, unlike the rest of the week, we are under no obligation to be substantive or thoughtful. We're just going to kick around some headlines that I don't think got enough attention throughout the week. I'll bring on Bridget Phetasy here in a moment, a delightful comedian and writer. But before we do that, we got to pay those bills, which means a word from our sponsor. Something's Off with Andrew Heaton is brought to you by Carbonated Scotch from Glenkevin. It's like the whiskey is screaming. Now, recently, Glenkevin Distillery has been catching a lot of flack from British tabloids and the Human Rights Commission for marketing a campaign of buy a scotch, get a free knife. Now, I don't know if you've ever wanted a bottle of delicious whiskey, but also needed to purchase a switchblade. But it seems to me like combining these two purchases into one convenient transaction would save you a trip. That's more time you can spend with your family. But, like usual, the ne'er-do-wells screw it up for the rest of us, right? Seems over in Glasgow, there have been one or two isolated dozen knife fights, and what I suspect are probably unrelated decapitations. Now, personally, I tend to be a pretty happy drunk. So if I were at a football match, and I got my own very free bottle of whiskey and a cool knife as a party favor, I think I'd be pretty jazzed about it. And I'll say this, Glenkevin was very careful about giving an equal amount of free whiskey bottles to both the Rangers and the Celtics, so it's not like either of them should have been upset about the other fans getting more whiskey or switchblades. That's on Rangers and Celtic fans, in my opinion, not on a very generous whiskey distillery. Now, in any case, the distillers over at Glenkevin, they're a bunch of softies, and they feel bad for any role they might have played in the so-called Glaswegian Blood Fountain tragedy of 2019. And so, as a way of giving back to the community, they are now unveiling Diet Carbonated Scotch. Do you love scotch but also have slow metabolism? Do you yearn for the smoky taste of Scotland's most famous export but also you're fat? Well, good news! Diet Carbonated Scotch has all the peaty flavor you've come to love with half the calories. And you get a free switchblade. Diet Carbonated Scotch from Glenkevin. It's like the whiskey is screaming. My guest today is Bridget Phetasy. She is a writer and a comedian and in studio, for which I'm very excited.
Hi.
Hey, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you came on like, I think Valentine's Day
mm-hmm.
to talk about your experience at a sex cult. That was a fun episode, and I'm glad to have you back.
I made it out.
Yeah, we probably...
live from the sex cult.
Yeah, good job. In Australia, which I think we've got a story from Australia at one point, or where we might get to it. So I'm excited. So we'll kick around some stuff happening.
Yeah.
So first headline, a giant bird that killed its owner is now up for sale. It's called a cassowary, and it's, I think, like 6 feet tall and mm-hmm. apparently has razor sharp
talons.
And it killed its owner. I don't want to... It killed the guy. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm aware that he has a real family, but at the same time, like, just grow parrots. But it killed its owner, and they're now going to put it up on for auction.
Right.
And I feel like there's only two just courses of action with this, is either the family of the man that's been killed gets to eat it. That seems like, I think that should just automatically happen. That's what I would want to do. Or alternately, I think the bird should inherit everything he owns. I think those are the two things. Like either it's right of conquest or you get a turducken.
Imagine getting that present for a friend that you hate. Or not even a friend, a frenemy. You're like, I'm giving you the
nice.
Bird.
Yeah. So if you don't, like, it's kind of like...
I'm literally giving you the bird.
Yeah. You're giving someone like a deadly, deadly bird that they could keep in their yard? Oh, man. That sounds like... If Monk had gone on to like season 16 and they were coming up with weirder and weirder murder yeah. mysteries and they're like, it's a guy and he hates a bird collector and he got a cassowary, which apparently there's another animal I need to be afraid of. I didn't even know what those are. Had you heard of one?
No.
Yeah.
I feel like it's such, I have such an active imagination and it feels like a South Park episode to me, you know, where it's like you're just out there in your backyard and then you trip and fall and it's... What a
There's
horrible,
a 7 foot
you know,
tall,
like,
you know, velociraptors are like, or were like 2 feet tall.
Oh, Wow, really?
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this on the show before. Apologies to anybody that I'm redundant with, but Bridget doesn't know this yet. But I used to be a substitute teacher.
Oh.
And,
okay.
And thank you very much till I was asked to quit doing that. And I would go in and be like, look, like I would basically go, we all know this is busy work. So like, let's just do this and then we'll do something awesome. And,
yep.
And if we got through that, I'd be like, okay, good news. Today is Velociraptor Awareness Day. And I would commission all these kids to like do research projects on velociraptors. Apparently they had feathers, which makes them a lot less frightening.
Yeah.
And they were like 2.5 feet tall. They should be called razor chickens is what velociraptors were.
I feel so lied to by Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm amazed that I didn't know that too, because I feel like elementary school, in retrospect, I think if you did a pie chart of stuff I learned, it was like 30% reading, 30% math, and 30% dinosaurs. And I don't know what the other bit was.
What was the
right?
other 10%?
I wasn't very good at math. Apparently,
we need to lessen the math.
Deer Creek Public
percentage.
Schools did not teach me pie charts very well. Yeah. I did 33.3%. There we are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
10%. We're not sure what he was learning.
Let's kick it to the international, the global scene. I assume the story is from Foreign Policy magazine. I don't know. But the headline reads, we will declare war. Philippines Duterte gives Canada 1 week to take back garbage. Did you read that story?
I did. I just think this story is great because if this is how World War III starts.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
It's perfect.
Yes.
It's the perfect way this simulation goes down.
Oh, I
you know?
Yeah, I agree. Because at first I read it and I was like, ha ha. Because it like Duterte, he's the it's, like the kid, right?
Yeah,
like he's like the kind of like little dictator in Philippines who's like stringing up drug dealers and things. Mm-hmm. So he's not a nice guy. We don't like him, right? And like we like Canada. Canada's buddies with us. So, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, hell yeah, go Canada. Like, I bet she'd win in a fight. And by the way, I want to back up. The whole reason for this is
I don't know if Canada would win.
I'll tell you why I think they would. But Canada, like, I don't know whether this was a prank or what, but, like, some company, I think they sent them, like, 6 years ago, they sent them a bunch of trash, like a boatload of trash, and they were like, this is recycling. And there was no, it was just trash.
Did you read what it was in it? They specifically said adult diapers. Adult diapers.
So maybe like Stephen Harper, the former prime minister, was like, all right, I've got one shot to piss off the Philippines before Trudeau comes in. That guy's not going to be sending adult diapers to the Philippines.
It's just such a, it is exactly the way that this, it's always going to be, you know, the little
this
thing
this is
you
the Archduke Franz Ferdinand
totally.
Of the 21st century. My God, I think you might be right. Because Duterte, who's like, you know, he's a thin-skinned guy, is like, you take back your garbage.
Yeah. What's he going to do?
He said he's going to declare war and then send
it
back.
Okay, and then what?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you don't even have to declare war to send it back. You can just put it on a boat and then send it back. And then if they're like, we don't want it, be like, all right, well, we'll just release it near Vancouver.
We're at war. Now
here you
what?
Go. Yeah, I guess it'll go to China. I don't know. Your problem now. But yeah, but he wants to go, or he's threatened to go to war. And yeah, I'm with you because if he declares war on Canada, they're in NATO. So he's declared war on everybody in NATO. And like that, we would probably win. But then I could see like
it
China
escalating.
And Russia being like, hold on a minute.
You know what? No,
yeah.
you're not
we
going
like
to war.
We like the Philippines because we've got an axis of evil with them that you haven't heard of previously. And like, we've got some weird 1842 treaty and now nukes are flying.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's going to be the adult diapers that got shipped as a joke in 2013.
Let us not get to that point. May cooler heads prevail. Or maybe Justin Trudeau could just go over and arm wrestle this guy or something.
I think he'd lose.
You think? Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, handsome fella, don't feel like he's an arm wrestler.
No, I feel like he would get just sliced, you know, just like. Knife
Whereas,
to the
yeah.
kidney.
Whereas that guy strikes me as a knife to the kidneys type guy. Like, he's probably stabbed a couple of people over the course
it's
of his
like
political
Putin.
Career.
You know Putin has killed someone with his bare hands and watched the life drain out of their eyes.
I think that's how he goes to sleep at night. Is he can't quite fall asleep, but he's like, well, I could do vodka or I could strangle a chef. And then just brings a chef in and just, wilts the life from them. Yeah, I think you're right. I would totally make you an ambassador in the forthcoming Heaton administration.
Thank you.
Yeah, name your country. You'll get it. Weird. Oh, this is like you've got some local insight to this too, if I'm not mistaken. So, weird feud between city council members ends with politicians peeing in cups. So, the story at home, folks, is that this is in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay, just stop right there.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know a lot about Bridgeport.
Most people don't, but it's pretty rough.
Okay. Right, well, because we were talking about this that like
the three dimensions of Connecticut.
Yeah, I've got hailing from Oklahoma. I thought Connecticut was like nothing but water wheels and Bob Newhart and just people walking around holding satchels of paint. I had this very strange idea
like
of Connecticut.
Polo shirts.
Yeah, I thought it was a polo ad.
Yeah.
And then And then, like, you come to find out, like, a substantial part of it's just kind of suburbs from New York. All right. And then there's two more areas. There's, like, the Stepford Wives, which is in keeping with my fantasy. And then there's the Stabbing District, like New Haven, where people are just beating each other to death with bottles.
Yeah, it's diverse.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting that.
It's definitely diverse. And it is at Bridgeport in particular. My stepdad was actually a paramedic in Bridgeport. Oh. And the stories that he would come home with were just insane.
Yeah, he's very different than, say, Martha's Vineyard.
The
stories there are like, you know, it's nothing but wine overdose. That's it.
It's very, and then there's, you know, the coastal kind of fishing villages, which is kind of the beach community segment, but not so summer as a verb.
Right.
Outside of
which is the delineation.
Yes.
If you use summer as a verb or not, that's you
that's
actually have to do
it
on your taxes in Connecticut.
Is
summer a verb? Yes. You just got 20% extra on your property taxes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are the fishing villages like? Because I'm
being
great. From a landlocked state, I just picture old guys with beards, like wearing yellow
slickers.
No,
it's more, we used to go to the Portuguese Blessing of the Fleet, which was amazing. And it's, I don't know, they're very, I was asking if you'd seen Mystic Pizza, very, for those of the, in the audience who've seen Mystic Pizza, it's very Mystic Pizza-ish. And it's just, locals, you know, it's more blue collar feel. My brother was a commercial fisherman, actually. So it's like that. I would say it's like, you know, that Down Eastern Alexa song, like the Bruce. I think it's Bruce Springsteen.
What?
No, who is this? I'm going to mess.
You've lost
is
me.
Is it Billy Joel? It's a,
oh,
now
okay.
We're on the Down Eastern Alexa. A lot of people know this song.
Okay.
But it's all about going out to sea and fishing, and it's very blue collar, like. Think Bruce Springsteen. Try and think like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
If he was a fisherman and not in a factory.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now I just want you to keep using this tortured analogy. Now, assuming that I'm from a flat state with no fish, and there are like a lot of guns and cowboys, what would the equivalent? Like, this is like Enid. What is this to me?
I don't know.
Okay. I think it's probably Enid. That's what I think it probably is. But the story was that there are a couple of city councilmen. One of them. I got accused of being in a psych ward at one point. I don't know whether that happened or not. And then the other one had been in prison for drugs at some point. And they're both, I think both Democrats in the same political party, but they were arguing about some budget thing and but doing it on a message board. And
right.
it escalated to the point where they were daring each other to take a drug test.
This is the most Bridgeport story.
Yeah.
It's just so.
Oh, I was reading this and I was like, this sounds way better than, you know, in Enid when we just shoot a guy.
It's
like the
challenge you to a duel,
yeah,
the modern.
But with pissing into a cup
that
you then have to send to some guy in a lab coat to confirm you're not on cocaine.
And what was he was trying to prove that she wasn't crazy?
He was because she was saying in my mind I'm picturing the Connecticut version of the House of Lords where they're like, do you know the speaker is a dirt, but you know whatever she was saying, maybe Bob or whatever his name is. Would want to take a test to confirm he's not on drugs right now, given that his ridiculous opinion of the budget or whatever.
Right.
And he was like, I think he said, like, you're a psycho. You were sent to a psych ward at some point. Like, it was very, like, there's no implications. They were just very upfront of, like, you're a psycho. Well, you're a druggie.
It sounds like they have very checkered past.
Yeah. No, the lady, too, because, and in case you're curious at home, they both passed the drug test.
Yes.
So, like,
and he has 23 years sober or something like that.
Good job, that guy. Yeah. They both passed the drug test, though, but I did kind of a deep dive because I believe in journalism. And so I did a deep dive on her. She had also tried to out a member of the same city council like 2 weeks ago. She tried to out him as not living in the district.
Okay, so she is psycho.
I think she might be. There's a guy that what she claims is that he doesn't really live in Bridgeport, but he wants to be in the city council. So he bought a fake apartment or is renting a fake apartment and claims that is his residence. And then to trip him up, she delivered a cake to it 2 weeks ago with like a film crew or something to try and like see into it to see if there was actually furniture. And then he's getting into this too. And he's like, oh, you know what? Like I like opened the door and there was a cake. And I was like, no one's going to send me a cake. It's probably the State Department. And so he like wouldn't let him in because the guy wanted to use his bathroom. And he was like, no, you can't use the bathroom. So my theory is this. This is my theory. Although your understanding of Bridgeport makes this all make more sense. I have thought for a while that maybe we're living in a sitcom. We just don't know who the focus of the sitcom is. Maybe it's Bridgeport.
Maybe
we're all background actors to the basically Parks and Rec, comma Bridgeport.
Yes, yeah. Maybe. I said this yesterday. I feel like we're living in a again, back to South Park. They did that one where it's an intergalactic reality show, Earth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're at that point where the producer is like, what kind of crazy stuff can we get these people to believe?
I think
and
that, yeah.
Try and convince each other to believe.
Yeah. I think it could well be that, like, my producer and I are going to do an episode at some point, or at least we will allude to one of are we in a simulation of that kind of
yeah.
thing? And I think comedy kind of seems
the
to
fact
prove
that
my
I'm
point.
Sitting here is proof that we're in a simulation.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. Okay, so we'll kick it over to Philadelphia. Have you lived in Philadelphia? Because you've jumped all over the place.
I have, but
have?
No,
really?
I haven't lived in Philly. I have jumped all over the place.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of people in Philly.
Okay,
though.
I too have been to Philadelphia, so I'm more on geographic firm footing here. So in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, $450,000 worth of colonoscopes stolen from Philly Hospital. So this is what you all think it is. This is a colonoscope is the scoping mechanism you use for a colonoscopy,
mm-hmm.
which I've not had, but I'm told is exquisitely uncomfortable and I think 30 feet in length. And and so they stole $450,000 worth of this, and they've got footage of three teenagers walking out, or
okay.
three like teenagers. I think it's people in their early 20s, they think.
One wearing a fedora.
Which, yeah.
Which was
it's
the
a
thing
scarf.
That-
There's somebody with a like
they're
a
hipsters.
Yeah,
they've
got like a
colonoscopy.
I think it's got to be a prank, because if it's not a prank, I am terrified to know that there's
yeah,
such a thing as a black market for colonoscopies. I can't. That's just like the movie Hostel meets the healthcare system is black market
that's
back alley colonoscopies. No, thank you.
We're gonna see this on Twitter. Someone will be like, you know, the healthcare system is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
People are having to get their
getting,
colonoscopies on the black
they're,
market.
They're getting it out of a van. Yeah, don't. Ugh. Yes, I think it's probably a prank.
That's a pretty, that's like an Ocean's 11 movie, though. That's a pretty elaborate prank.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money, by the way. That's not like, oh, $450 worth of stuff. That's almost $500,000.
I mean, I guess there's probably a black market for medical equipment.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Okay. But.
And like, now that I think about it, they probably don't, like, they probably use the same machine. I would like it if it was one-time use, but they probably just clean it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
probably pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Or, you know what, maybe they're just making a really interesting movie, because it's a camera, right? So, like,
yeah.
maybe they're like, you know, we're trying to get into the air vents at our school, and we need to get, like, a weird shot.
We're going to find out
where can
these
we get a
20-foot
kids, 20-foot like... camera? Well, I've got an idea. Like, my dad works at the local colonoscopy store.
Or it's going to be some Stranger Things where they, you know, bagged an alien and they want to probe it. And so it's like these three hipsters are like, you know what? We got to do this ourselves, man. Give me my fedora.
That sounds like a Netflix series that I would watch the first episode of. I would watch I would watch the first episode and be like, I should have saw this one coming. I could, no, okay, yeah. But you know what? On the note of hipsters, though, I think they'll keep coming into this. Dutch tulip growers beg selfie taking millennials to stop trampling their flowers. So if you Google, if you've probably seen these pictures before, there's these really mm-hmm. bright, beautiful pictures of the Netherlands where they have these very vivid fields of flowers. And selfie takers are descending on them in droves to
mm-hmm.
the point that they're actually ruining the fields.
But this is Instagram ruining the world.
This is Instagram ruining
Truly,
the world.
Truly.
Yeah.
It really is. I saw it in Joshua Tree. I was recently there.
Ah.
Same thing. It's just hordes of people to get their perfect selfie or their perfect shot. And
mm-hmm.
it's all Instagram. I've been going to Joshua Tree for 10 years. And there's a line to get into the park now.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
Because yeah.
I've not been. Is Joshua Tree a specific tree?
Or, no,
or is
it's
tree
Joshua
like a
Tree
synonym for
National
forest?
Park.
Okay.
It's a national park.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So.
And people are lining up to take selfies there and Instagram photos?
Yeah. I mean, they had a big bloom because we got a lot of rain. So it was a super bloom. But it's that same, you know, just today I was reading a headline that another woman fell off the Grand Canyon. And every time you hear one of these stories, it turns out
yeah.
they were taking a selfie.
It's never juggling.
That poor girl in New York.
I miss
it was last week or 2 weeks ago. she was taking, they climbed this tower in New York and she fell, and it turned out she was trying to get a selfie.
Yeah.
It's Instagram though.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's how addictive this stuff is, yeah, that you will risk your life for a picture.
Yeah. Well, no, and there are, like, you know, same with like bear attacks. I bet you that if I can't confirm this, but I bet you that like at least 25% of bear attacks in the U.S. involve selfies where some moron is like, hey, look, a mama bear. And then they're like trying to get that photo, and then the mama bear clamps down on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've come up with a plan to help our Dutch friends, who, by the way, I feel sorry for them, because I feel like the Netherlands, like have you been to Amsterdam?
No. It's shockingly.
It's a really nice,
well, you've my
had,
history.
You've had plenty of fun everywhere. I don't feel like other people, Bridget, need an Amsterdam. I don't feel like you've ever
my
required
whole life has
Amsterdam.
Been in Amsterdam.
You're sort of a mobile Amsterdam wherever you go. Like a cut, yeah. For those of us that you know need a little bit more of a push, Amsterdam is a really lovely city, mm-hmm, and it's known for weed and whoring. Mm-hmm. Those are the two. But it's, yep, like, it's got the Van Gogh Museum. It's got the Anne Frank House. Heineken's there. Mm-hmm. There's like lots of old pretty things. Then like you walk around, like the people that live there, they're not like running around high and whoring. They're like, you know, investment bankers and things,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that. And they got gets trashed. And now these fields are getting trashed. What I think they should do is, if I were one of these people, because it's they make it clear that it's millennials taking selfies, I would put up scarecrows. I think this is brilliant. Scarecrows of really tall student loan officers in these fields. That way when people approach, like, oh, no, let's just go the other direction. You're
it's
welcome, the Netherlands.
That's actually a good idea.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
That's bait. By the way, millennials are like your age.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Not really me.
Because you're like a couple years older than
I'm
I am.
I'm 40.
You're 40.
I'm
okay.
Happy to admit that.
Okay. So you're
publicly.
So then are you Gen X? What are?
I think I'm considered Xennial.
I was about to say there's probably some intermediate thing.
There's
of
a
like,
weird
like
bridge.
X.2 or something.
I feel more akin to Gen X though.
Did you get through high school without cell phones or?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I got my first email address when I was 19, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
18, 19.
Because I think that's the really big divide.
Yeah.
Like I had a mobile phone when I was in high school.
Oh no,
but
I didn't not.
Like, and I say mobile.
I had a pager.
Oh, nice. You had a pager?
Oh
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I had a mobile phone, and but even then though, and this is the divide between me and say like my friends on my improv team who are all in their 20s. I didn't use it. I kept it in my locker. It didn't occur to any of us that you were going to use it for social purposes, because
right,
it's like, well, everyone I know is 8 feet away from me. Why would I? Why would I? Like, I can write him a note. Like, it literally didn't even. Texting wasn't a thing until I was in college.
Yeah.
And social media wasn't a thing until I was in college.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's the divide between millennials like me and iGen is: did you get through high school with social media or not? And if you and I
is
really,
iGen the next one down?
Yeah.
That's my nephews.
Yeah.
I just did a little for my podcast. I did a roundtable with their 10. 14 and 18, and it was hilarious.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
It was hilarious. Asking them about their experience with even seeing the difference between the 18 and the 10-year-old, which is not that many years, is remarkable. And it was funny. My sister sat in on it, and she was saying, you know, I asked the oldest when he got his first cell phone, and then she was strict and waited, and then the second one, and then the youngest got one when the second one down did, and my sister's like, yeah, the wheels kind of fell off the bus on that.
Because I feel like kids that got social media for the first wave in high school really got screwed over because we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
And I imagine by the time I have kids, there'll be some sort of parenting methods designed of like, well, you don't have Facebook, tell X or whatever. We'll have like some kind of weird 3D cyber face. But, you know, I feel like they kind of got blindsided. Is the 10-year-olds significantly different than the 18-year-olds?
Actually, the 18-year-old seems the most well adjusted to it, and I'm not sure if that's just innately who he is, or he's really busy. Basically, as my sister pointed out, she said he's the busiest and he spends the least amount of time online and he's the happiest.
Yeah,
and the second one isn't really into social media. He's more into video games.
Okay.
And so he's definitely a gamer, which is a whole...
Yeah, that's a whole other
thing. And then the youngest, he's definitely all over social media, but he's young and he definitely, you see those, you know, I can't imagine having social media. And when I was their age,
I think it'd be terrible.
I was out of control.
You were like the hot crazy girl. Oh. I was like the super dork. And so I also wouldn't want to be on social media.
Well, I was only crazy because my parents got divorced and stopped being parents.
And I want to be clear. Fun crazy is what I meant. I just want to be very clear on that.
I didn't have any supervision. So I did I just went bananas because why not? But I cannot imagine if I had had social media.
I feel like I have lifelong frequent flyer virgin status by virtue of my high school experience. Like, it was so overwhelming. Like, it was very social, but so nerdy.
That's
like,
funny.
Like, my friends and I would literally, on Friday nights, we'd go play Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
And then we would get this, like, 1,000-watt spotlight and drive to the lake and just shine it on more attractive people banging in a car. And then they would try and kill us. That was our evening. It was just avoiding death from the people having sex. That was Friday nights at Deer Creek. I'm glad. But if I'd been on social media, though, because I don't remember feeling left out or unpopular.
Right.
Because if a party happened, I didn't find out about it until the following Thursday, which I didn't care about. But if I'd been scrolling on my thing, I'm like, hey, guys, while you're shining the light on them, did you know there's a party happening over at Becky's house that we weren't invited to? Wait a minute. Are we dorks? Like, I didn't realize that till I was I literally didn't know people in my high school were having sex till I was in college.
That's funny.
That's how like sheltered we were, and I think I wouldn't have been able to maintain that had I been in a social media situation.
Although you might have found your tribe online. So some kids who feel isolated in school and maybe don't have anybody that they feel like they can connect to in their school, they find their people online. So
true,
they don't feel as isolated as they might in the real world. They might feel isolated in the real life, but because they have this, you know, life online.
Yeah, there's kind of like a sorting thing going on.
Yeah.
And even now, like, I'm on a Slack channel with my improv team.
Oh.
Which I guess, oh my God, is this like the nerdy version of me
you
as
really
a 35-year-old?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Oh my God. Am I going to be 70 going, you would not believe me when I was 35. Oh, I was on a Slack channel with my improv team. We did a remote game night using an iPad so I could play it one time. I left a bar early to go to that. Oh God. Okay. We're going to move on to a couple more stories before I realize just the depths of my nerdy depravity. Flyer jokingly mentions gun. Flight delayed by 16 hours. This happened, I think, in Singapore, en route to India. And someone on a plane was apparently loading their luggage or something. And the stewardess or steward said something, and they went, it's a gun. And they kind of laughed about it. But then they delayed the plane 16 hours.
Oh, see, in the article, they made it sound somewhat like he threatened her.
Yeah, he sounded kind of like a d**k, and then maybe he backpedaled.
It
was a joke. I know I said I'd shoot her, but I, you know.
She's like, sit down, sir. And he's like, I've got a gun in my bag. And then he's like, it was a joke. It was a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm with you. I'm remembering that now. It did sound like he was a little bit more of a jerk on that.
It sounded like he was aggressive. The way that they framed it, I don't know if that's true. And then they were like, turns out he was just joking. Seems like a weird mistake to make.
I delayed an international plane flight by, I think, 3 hours one time.
You did, personally?
Yeah, me personally, involving guns. So here's the situation. First time I went to Scotland, my friend Evan, who might be listening, hi Evan, we went up to Dromna Docket, which mm-hmm. is where Loch Ness is, and we bought these really cool replica dueling pistols. And I got one for my brother, and I got one for my best friend.
Okay.
And we get to the airport, and they're like walking around, and they're like, you know, anything to report? Do you have any weapons? And I was like, and I'm from Oklahoma, so I'm like, nope, I don't have any weapons. I've got toys, so I don't even think about it. And Evan had lost his credit card, or he lost his wallet at some point. And so they come over the speaker and they go, passenger Heaton, you urgently needed in Terminal 4, passenger Heaton. And I was like, Evan wants me to buy him coffee again, fine. So I come over there and I'm like, I'm passenger Heaton, what do you want? And they go, are you smuggling pistols? And I went, oh no. And they made me sit in a corner by myself for a while, and these British guys in flak jackets came in.
Yeah.
Who were like, by the way, the most polite people in the world.
This post 9/11?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the most polite people in the world are well-armed English people. Yeah, no, I've got like, I won't go into it today, but I have like an even more heinous pre-9/11 story that would like really got me into trouble had that happened at the time. It involves a mailbox and a cartoon-looking bomb. But yeah, anyway, they finally take me out to the tarmac in their flak vests, and they got their guns and everything. And they take me out to the middle of the tarmac, and there's a van, and we get into it. And they're like, would you please, is that your bag? Yes. Would you please open it? And I'm shaking. And I open it and they're like, would you remove the offending artifact? And I start pulling out this gun and I'm trying really hard to do it slowly and not point it at anybody because I'm afraid they're going to shoot me. And they just pause and go, oh, those are very nice. Where did you get them? We got them in Scotland. And they're like, oh, you don't have to go to Spain to get quality of artificial mustard like that. And I started putting it back in and they go, stop. We have bubble wrap. Cedric! And this guy comes over and they bubble wrap it for me. And anyway, long story short, I delayed the international plane flight by like 3 hours and no one liked me on that plane flight.
No, I'm sure you were wildly unpopular.
Yeah. It was, you know, that's my delaying a plane flight story. Yeah.
I've never delayed a plane.
You're
personally
here in town. You've got a flight back.
Missed multiple planes sitting at the bar next to my gate.
Okay. Wow. Next to the gate?
Not just once either. This is why I don't drink anymore. That's,
for the logistics alone, it would be meritorious.
How many times did they call my name while I was sitting there just chatting away?
What would you do when you missed it? Were you just like, well, I guess I'll stay in Minneapolis for another night? Like, was that kind of
basically trying to get on the next flight? You're drunk, so you don't care. You're like, oh, whatever. I mean, who knows what I did? I don't remember.
See, now I'm thinking I should hang out at airport bars. Because that seems just like if people are like, oh man, I missed my flight, and I'm like, well, how do you like karaoke? Because yeah. we got a whole day to kill. Them.
Oh, it's funny actually. Recently, I was traveling and a woman was crying and missed her flight for the same reason, and we were in Boston, and I was like, I know this. And she said, I was trying to get back to my husband, and she's drinking this blueberry ale. And
oh, God, that alone.
She has blueberries.
Either
in her
one of those things, you should be like, ma'am, you need to stop. If you're drinking blueberry ale at an airport, like it's time to do some transcendental meditation
so
and get off the booze.
Yeah, it gets dark.
Yeah.
Just little piece. I'll never forget her just crying with the mascara and like little pieces of blueberry in her teeth. And I totally was like, I feel you. You are my kindred spirit.
I'll do. I don't want to quite end on the blueberry ale. I used to for a while. I would try and talk to. I used to get on planes and I would go, can I say hi to the pilot, please? And they would go, yeah. Like they'd usually be okay with it. And then
when you were a kid, or like
no, this is like a year and a half ago. I've only quit doing this recently because it so clearly alarms the flight attendants.
Yes.
But like this is what I would go, can I, you know, please speak to the pilot? Sure. And then I would walk in and go, I just want you to know, we're all counting on you. From Airplane, which is a great, have you not seen Airplane?
Yes, oh, I've seen it.
It's a great film. I love Airplane. I love that humor. I love the Zucker brothers. I love Leslie Nielsen. I love everything about that film. And every time the pilots go, we'll be safe and efficient as per usual. And I'm like, no, how? Like, don't you have to watch this at flight school? What do you guys do on Friday nights? So that's the real reason I quit doing it. I felt like I thought what was going to happen is they'd go, ha, hey, don't call me Shirley. Do you want to sit up here?
No.
And then I'd have friends and things. That's not how that works.
You're like, it's just not something you do post 9/11.
Yeah.
Hey, can I talk to the pilots?
Yeah.
Just want to see what they look like.
You know what?
Just need to get a read.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Bridget, I think you're right. I'm like, well, I look like a bearded Jimmy Stewart. I can go anywhere I want. Then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Pilot cabin. Yeah. Okay.
I just want some wings.
Good point. So we're going to wrap up. We keep these episodes a little shorter because it's Friday commute. You said you got a podcast. Tell me about it.
I do. Walk-ins Welcome.
Walk-ins Welcome. Okay.
Yes. It's on Ricochet, the platform, but you can get it anywhere podcasts are available. And essentially, it's all about grit and resilience. Hmm. So I interview people, and it's all over there. It's all over the place because of the way it's framed. I can interview anyone. Everyone has a story of overcoming hardship.
Nice.
And yeah, I have had, you know, Jeff Garlin came on, and then we did my friend most recently. She had a psychic addiction, and I was like, you've got to come on and talk about this.
Wow.
We need to have. And I thought she was kind of kidding or over-exaggerating.
That one seems so self-evidently not working, too. Like, you'd think after the third or fourth psychic, you'd either be a millionaire or they're not working.
It was more boy-centered. So
okay.
It was more around a boy that she liked.
Okay. All
so
right.
It wasn't so much like, am I going to get rich? It was like, is there a chance? And then they're, you know, they only have to get a few things right for there to be evidence that this is this is working. And yeah, she said she's on the podcast. She said $60,000.
Oh my! Just that is, pay the guy $60,000. Like I would try it out for $60,000. If a woman were like, "Hey, like you want a date? I'll give you $60,000." I'd be like, "All right, how long are we talking? Like 2 month trial really, period? Yeah, I'll do that for 2 months. Yeah."
But it ended up being such an interesting conversation about addiction and you know mental health and just how actually one of these guys. I think she honestly maybe drove this psychic crazy enough that he told her. That she needed to, you know, go see a therapist.
Wow.
And so there are some who are really not ethical, but he actually sounded like he really was genuinely concerned about her well-being. And she kind of credits him for putting her on a path that is, you know, more self-reflective and healthy and looking into these kind of feelings that create the repetitive thoughts and obsession and feelings of worthlessness, essentially.
I'm intrigued. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
And
so,
Bridget, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
A little bit of listener feedback before we finish up the week. On iTunes, Court1022 says, Andrew delivers the current political topics in a comedic and entertaining way. I started listening when he first started on The Blaze and have enjoyed everything since. 5+ stars. Hey, thank you very much. You can watch this whole show on YouTube. If you look for Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, you can see my handsome bearded face and assortments of suits and beautiful, lovely guests like Bridget and the dead bison head on the wall behind her. Watching Something's Off with Andrew Heaton on your computer will not only make you seem more sophisticated and amusing at your office or prison cell, it will also improve your memory and sex life as well as combat your allergies. So go to YouTube and start watching full episodes. I look like the Cylon model that was off playing bocce ball when all the other Cylons decided to kill all the humans. Hey, thank you, Jennings. I think that means that I am both empathetic and handsome. I like that one. Remember, you can always tweet me at Mighty Heaton or Facebook me at facebook.com/Mighty Heaton or even email me by subscribing to my newsletter and just replying to the confirmation email or when I send out an actual newsletter. Finally, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. That helps other people discover this here political orphanage. Thank you and have a great weekend.